If you are a child of God, you have authority over the enemies of God. That's what Pete Briscoe is talking about today on Telling the Truth. Pete tells you more in a moment. So many people are struggling right now, and for many different reasons. It's likely that you're dealing with some uncertainty or anxiety in your own life. We want to help you trust in the work of Jesus with a special devotional book from Pete Briscoe called Power for Today. These 80 devotionals will help you grow in your confidence of the indwelling Christ as he brings healing to your pain and empowers you to share that same hope with our hurting world. Power for Today is our way to say thanks for your gift to help keep this broadcast on air and online. And if you make your gift monthly, we'll also send you the 16-message companion series on USB as a special thank you for your partnership. So please call now to get your resources when you give to help more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Pete with his message, Authority Over Enemies.
I was in the Philippines. I was a young man in college. I was on a mission trip, a basketball team, and we went into this town, parked the bus outside of town and walked right in. And as we're walking in, this tiny Filipino woman, frail little woman, about this tall, less than 5 feet tall, walked up to me. Her eyes were glazed over. She looked scary. She looked up at me, and in a male voice speaking English, she said, "You're not welcome here. Get out." And shivers went up my spine. Terrified me. Because here's what I knew about demons at that point. I knew they were stronger than me and smarter than me. And now I realized they were bullies. I mean, that demon tried to bully me. And not only that, they're invisible. I mean, when you start to really think about demons, if you really start to think about demons, it's terrifying stuff. Absolutely terrifying. What I've learned over the years is if you read books about really anything, but specifically about demons, if you read books without consulting the Bible, you'll be left with an incomplete picture of the demonic world. You will. It'll raise more questions than it'll answer. You'll have questions like, are demons real? What are they like? Are they still around today? What can they do to people? Are they allowed to do anything to anyone? Can they possess people? Can demons possess Christians? These are all questions I get all the time. The passage we're going to look at today is not going to answer all those questions, but the passage we're going to look at today is going to answer really the one question you need to answer as far as demons are concerned. Once you learn this, all the other questions just won't be that important. I'm going to read the text to you before we dive into it. Luke 4:31. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed, and they said to each other, "What words are these? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the entire surrounding area. I bet it did. Embedded in that text is a simple, simple truth about demons that you have to know. Because if you know this, all the other questions really aren't that important. This is what you need to know about demons. The most important thing. In the presence of Jesus, a greater power, a greater strength. In the presence of Jesus, demons become wimps. They become wimps. Read through the Gospels. I challenge you to do this. Just go through the Gospels. Look at all the stories when Jesus and demons come in contact with one another. In every single interaction between Jesus and the demons start out bullying someone, just wrecking someone's life, just destroying them inside and out. And as soon as Jesus shows up, the bullies become wimps instantly. In fact, in Mark chapter 3, Mark summarizes it for us this way. Verse 11, whenever the impure spirits saw Jesus, they fell down before him and cried out, "You're the Son of God." I mean, he walks in the room. Woo-hoo! Okay, you're it. I'm out. I quit. I'm not going to mess with you. In the presence of Jesus, demons became wimps. You got to read the Bible or you'll have an incomplete picture of demons. Here's what the Bible teaches. When Jesus shows up, bullies become wimps. When Jesus shows up, demons wimpify. They do. Let's look at our text. I'll show it to you. Then he, Jesus, this is Luke 4:31, he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum. Capernaum was like the real home of Jesus during his 2.5 years of ministry in the Galilean area. It was a beautiful little town right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee on the north shore. It's a gorgeous place. It was also a center of commerce and trade. There were major trade routes that went right past Capernaum. His earliest disciples were living there when he called them. They were fishing there. It kind of became his central place. It says he went down to Capernaum. He literally went down. Nazareth was 1,300 feet above sea level. Capernaum was about 700 feet below sea level. So he went down a couple thousand feet as he walked down towards Capernaum. This is a town in Galilee, Luke tells us. And on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. That word authority, it's a key word in our text. This is the Greek word exousia, which is one of the favored words of our biblical writers for authority. It means the power to do something, the power to choose something, the power to tell someone else to do something. It's a power word, a power of an intention, if you will. And it said, as he spoke, his words had authority. In the parallel passage in Mark's gospel, Mark tells us that they said his words have authority because he doesn't teach like the other rabbis and scribes teach. Luke didn't mention that here, but that's apparently what was said. The other rabbis had a very simple form of teaching. They would bring up a passage of scripture or they would bring up an issue and they would say, Rabbi so-and-so says this about that text. But Rabbi so-and-so says this, and Rabbi so-and-so says this, and then fourthly, Rabbi so-and-so says this. There are four different views of this text. And then they would go on to the next one. They'd do the same thing. Here's what Rabbi so-and-so thinks. And they would always tell you about the other authorities, but they would never say, now here's what I think, or here's what you should think. And so there was no authority to their teaching. There was really no learning in their teaching. There was no guidance in their teaching. And so when Jesus came in, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't say, okay, so there's this passage of scripture. Here's what the other guys think. He never talked about other authorities. He said, here's what I think. Now do this. A completely different form of teaching. It was teaching with authority, with power. And they were amazed by it. While he was doing this authoritative teaching in verse 33, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. So a demon is an evil spirit. And apparently demons can possess people. They can indwell people because this man had one inside him. The ancient world believed that the air was just populated with evil spirits and that they were looking for a person to dwell because once they had a body, they could do much more. And they could destroy that individual. Satan is a destroyer. He wants to destroy people. So if they could get inside an individual, then they could destroy them from the inside out. This man apparently had been possessed by one of these demons. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away!" Okay, so in the original language, it's just the word "ia." "Ia." It's an expression of wonder and fear and indignation and panic. So there's a man with a demon inside him. They're sitting there in the synagogue. Jesus gets up to teach, and all of a sudden this man goes, "Ah!" It's a diabolical screech is what it is. And as you can imagine, all the proceedings instantly stop. And everyone looks at this guy. And the demon starts to speak out of him. And he says, "Ah! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" This is an idiom. What do you want with us? It means, you know what? We have nothing in common with one another. Why are you bothering us? What have I done that you would come here? I don't like it that you're here. You see, demons don't like to be where Jesus is, friends. They don't like to be where Jesus is. Jesus shows up and the demon says, "What are you doing here in my place?" Have you come to destroy us? Apparently there were other demons around. He's speaking for all of them. Have you come to destroy us? Well, why would he say that? Well, the reason he said that is because the demon knows the battle is lost. The demon knows his destiny is the great abyss. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. They all end up there. He knows that. He knows that Jesus is the one that's going to do that to all the demons. He's come in contact with Jesus. He thinks, oh my goodness, today's the day. So he screams, ah, what have I done to deserve this? Are you here to destroy me? Is today the day? And then he says, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. I know who you are. I know you're capable of this. It's amazing. Just a few minutes ago, he was bullying this guy, and now he's a wimp. You see how that happened? The only thing that happened was Jesus showed up. In the presence of Jesus, demons become wimps.
We hope you're enjoying today's message from Pete Briscoe. And we want you to know that it's the support from friends like you that keep these biblical teachings going out to the world, encouraging you and other listeners like Beverly, who wrote in to say, I appreciate the daily reminders to trust Jesus and to love more deeply and authentically. Right now, you're invited to help impact even more lives through your gift of support to Telling the Truth. The teachings you love, the daily devotionals in your inbox, the biblical resources available online are all possible thanks to support from friends like you. So please give generously today. We'll say thanks for your gift by sending you Pete Briscoe's 80-day devotional book, Power for Today, to help you live well through every struggle and setback. And if you're able to make your gift monthly, we'll also send you Pete's 16-message companion series on USB. So call now to get your resources from Pete when you give. And thank you for helping more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's head back to Pete Briscoe.
Look how Jesus responds, verse 35. Be quiet, be muzzled, be gagged. Shut up, stop talking, zip it. Now, come out of him. Please note, there's no grandstanding, there's no mocking, there's no chest thumping, there's no incantations, there's no big ceremonies. Jesus just tells the demon what to do. Hey, stop talking and come out now. Authority, power. It says in the text, then the demon charged Jesus, and the battle to the death raged for hours. No, yours doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that. In fact, nowhere, if you look in any of the instances where Jesus and the demons confront one another, nowhere is there a battle. There's never a battle. As soon as Jesus shows up, I quit, I'm done, I'm out. There's never a battle to the death. This is the mismatch of the ages, my friends. Here's what it actually says. Then the demon threw the man down. You know the image I have here? I have the image of the spoiled kid who says, fine, take it. Fine. And he threw the man down, and the word threw, it means to violently throw. He was trying to hurt him. Friends, this is what Satan does. He tries to hurt people, tries to injure them, tries to destroy them. And so he's like, all right, I got to leave. I'm going to give one last parting try, and throws him down. Fine. Then the demon threw the man down before them or into the middle of them and came out without injuring him. I love that. He tried to injure him. Jesus simply wouldn't allow it. Jesus protected him. All the people were amazed. I bet they were. And they said to each other, what words are these? Or what word is this? What is this word? It says here, all the people were amazed and said to each other, what is this word? I mean, did you see what just happened? He just said, be quiet and come out. No fanfare, nothing. What is this word? With authority and power, that's exousia, and power, that's dunamis, from which we get dynamite. It means power, especially achieving power. Any word with the root duna has the meaning of being able or capable. So authority says, I have the right to tell you what to do. power says, and I have the power to force you to do what I'm telling you to do. They were saying Jesus confronts demons and they leave. Jesus shows up and bullies become wimps. This is the most important thing you can know about demons, friends. It's crucially important. Now, what we're doing in this series is we're asking the simple question, what difference does it make that Jesus indwells us? We believe in this doctrine, it's all over Scripture, of the fact that when I say yes to Jesus, Jesus by his Spirit comes to indwell me after forgiving me of my sins, and then he lives through me. And if it's true that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is true, if it's true that at the moment of salvation, Christ by his Spirit comes to indwell me, and if it's true that if I surrender myself to him, he will express himself through me, then as I am surrendered to him, my life on earth today will look very much like his life on earth then. That means if Jesus lives in me, I will have the same impact on demons that he did. Whew. Let that sink in for a second. Let me throw a couple so whats at you. These are important things that we need to think through. If it's true that in the presence of Jesus, demons become wimps, which is true, then the first thing that I need to say to you is that if you don't have Jesus, you are on your own. And it would be appropriate to be terrified at the thought. Because demons are stronger than you and smarter than you. They're bullies and they're invisible. It's terrifying. There's a story in Acts chapter 19. It's an amazing story. I just want to read it to you briefly. It's quite short. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits, so there were some of these exorcists, ancient exorcists, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Okay, so remember, one of the strategies was to call on a more powerful demon to cast out the lesser demon. And so these people had heard that Jesus was powerful. He's some kind of spirit. They don't know him at all. They're trying to make money casting out demons. And so they think, okay, we're going to invoke the name of Jesus and try and get demons out that way. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. So there were seven of these boys, these young men, and they were trying to cast out demons using Jesus' name. One day, they're trying to cast an evil spirit out of a guy. Listen to this. This is great. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Can you imagine? In the name of Jesus, come out. Okay, wait. Jesus I know. And Paul I know about, but who in the world are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all seven of them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding, all of them. Demons are bullies, friends. They are bullies. And if you are not in Christ, they are stronger than you, they are smarter than you, and you can even throw Jesus' name out there and it's not going to make any difference whatsoever. Because it's the presence of Jesus that makes a difference. But here's the good news. If Christ is in you, demons cannot hurt you. Demons cannot hurt you. You say, oh, Pete, I'm not quite sure about that. Well, you don't have to believe me. Listen, 1 John 5:18, John said, if you are born of God, the evil one cannot touch you. Okay, it's right there in the Bible, friends. If you're born of God, the evil one cannot touch you. The word touch there means to handle in a way to influence, to grab a hold so you can influence someone. If you are a child of God, if Christ lives in you, he can't do that to you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. This text is an illustration of that biblical principle. There's a third thing that I'd love for you to take home. The first is if you're not in Christ, you're on your own. The second is if you are in Christ, demons can't hurt you. The third thing is, in Christ, we can help people who are oppressed by demons. In Christ, we can help people who are oppressed by demons. Remember, the context of this comes right after Jesus got his personal mission statement from Scripture. And the personal mission statement was, oh, my primary calling is to be a son of God. My secondary calling is to be an instrument in his hands. And what he wants to do, the song he's playing in all of us, is to help the helpless through us. And one of the helpless that he listed in that vision statement was to release the oppressed. He was talking about people who are oppressed by the evil one, by demons, by evil spirits. Apparently, he wants to use us in that type of ministry. Okay, a little scary. Maybe. If this was a what would Jesus do sermon, this is where I'd tell you to comb through scriptures and see how Jesus did it and then imitate that. But it's not a what would Jesus do sermon. Because friends, this is not about a formula. The question is not what would Jesus do? The question is what will Jesus do? When I step into a situation, because Jesus lives in me, here's what he'll do. He'll turn bullies into wimps. And then we'll be used by him to actually release people who are oppressed under the oppression of the evil one. Hurting people will be healed.
Pete Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. Coming up, he'll share one final point about the authority you have over the enemies of God when Christ lives in you. Racism, classism, favoritism. It's clear our world is broken by a lot of isms. And the truth is, only Jesus can mend the deepest pain of our world and in our lives. That's why Pete Briscoe put together his devotional book, Power for Today, to help you experience God's healing in the midst of all this brokenness, so you can then be a source of God's hope to the world. You can get a copy of this 80-day devotional when you give to help keep this broadcast going strong so more people can experience life in Christ. And if you're able to make your gift monthly, we'll also send you Pete's 16-message companion series, What Will Jesus Do? On USB, which shows you how abiding in Christ brings his healing into your life. So call now to get your resources when you give. And thank you for helping more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, Pete is back to share one final thought about today's message from Luke 4.
What does it look like? How do we do it? Pete, what do I say? Okay, so you're trying to come up with the formula, right? No formula. Probably sounds something like this. Jesus is here. I'm going to say it out loud because demons can't read my mind. Just want you to know, Jesus is here. He lives in me. And right now he is saying through me, in my authority and power, get out. In my authority and power, stop. Stop talking. In my authority and power, release this poor person. Set her free. Set him free. And some of you are sitting there right now saying, Pete, I could never do that. I know you can't, but Jesus can, and he lives in you. We're asking the question, what difference does it make that the indwelling Christ indwells us? Here's a pretty big difference, my friends. It's the difference between getting beat up and pummeled and sending them off. Big difference. This is the difference the presence of Jesus makes. You know, I couldn't help but think as I was finishing my preparation for this message, what it would look like if we really believed this was true. If the thought of you being used by God to actually release someone who's oppressed by the evil one, if that terrifies you, you haven't been listening to the rest of the sermon. Go back and listen to it again. The fact of the matter is, because Jesus lives in me, everywhere I go with the authority and the power of Jesus Christ himself. Why is it that it seems like when the church steps into culture, we step in so timidly? Dare I use the word in a wimpy way? We got it backwards. We enter the world as wimps when we have been given the authority and the power of God himself. Can you imagine what it would look like if the church understood this truth? We have it twisted. We think the world is the authority. Friends, Christ is the authority. So if Christ lives in you, listen to this. When Christ lives in you, everywhere you go, you are the authority in that room. Woo! You say, Pete, now you're messing with me. No, scripture's messing with you. This is the truth. That might change the way we step into a place where we can sniff the evil when we step in. Have you ever been walked down a street where you can sniff the evil? You ever walked into a room where you can sniff it, where you can feel it? Our natural tendency might be to say, whoo, getting out of here, there's bad stuff here. As opposed to, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega indwells me. He is all powerful. He has authority in this room. He has authority on this street. Jesus, I'm walking forward. What are you going to do? We talk about the fact that the Christian life is an adventure. There's an adventure. What would it look like if the church figured this out? I think what it would look like is that the church would be used by God to change the world.
Pete Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. We hope you've been encouraged by today's message from God's Word. And before you go, we want to remind you, you can get a copy of Pete Briscoe's New Power for Today devotional book when you give to help keep these biblical messages coming your way. It's only thanks to support from friends like you. Telling the Truth continues sharing the gospel on air and online around the world. So please consider giving today to help reach even more lives with the good news of Jesus. And if you're able to make your gift monthly, you'll also receive Pete's 16-message series, What Will Jesus Do?, on USB, the companion resource for the Power for Today devotional. So call now to get both of these encouraging resources when you give to help more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Tomorrow, more from Pete's series about what happens when you allow Christ to lead your life. Tune in then and experience life.